morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. This is Sunday, September 24th. I'm glad that you're here this morning. Thank you for those of you watching the stream. We welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that as you watch today, God would encourage you and touch your heart today as you listen to the message. We also thank you for tuning in. So if you will, if you want to get more messages, hit the subscribe button and you'll get more messages, the notification bell. If you're listening on the podcast, man, we pray that when you're working out, whatever you're doing, God's word will get in and touch your heart right where you are. And we pray that you would also share this with your friends and family. Of course, you know, the media, and send it however you want and whatever platform works best for you. Again, we welcome you, and we're so excited to come together. We have finished Daniel chapter 7, and now we begin in Daniel chapter 8. We continue in the book of Daniel. We've been in it for a few months. It's been an awesome time. We have seen a lot of things that Daniel went through in the history and the empires. And we're going to look a little bit more closely about two other empires that he mentioned in Daniel 7 and also that King Nebuchadnezzar saw in Daniel chapter 2. So we're going to look at some of these world empires again today, and we're going to focus on primarily two of them, and one at its final stages, which is the Medo and Persian Empire, and the rise of the Grecian Empire that was led by Alexander the Great. So we're going to look at that today. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for the time of worship. We were reminded, Lord, that we are free, that he who the Son has set free is free indeed, Lord. Lord, we're reminded that your goodness is always with us, that your goodness and your mercy are always with us, Lord. And we thank you for that, and we worship you. Lord, we're reminded that it is your Spirit who comes and who lives in us. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to revive your church, Lord. We ask you to revive us. Lord, if someone's listening who doesn't know you, I pray an awakening will happen in their heart, that God, you would awaken them from where they are, from being trapped by Satan, that they would see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're hoping that you would have your way today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to move in our midst as the word of God is being preached, Lord. Lord, I know some of the things we're going to talk today may be historical, but God, I pray that the Spirit of God will minister to each person as we go through this, Lord, together. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to empower me, Lord, to preach your word. I don't have it in myself. It comes from you, Lord. Everything good comes from you, Lord. And I ask you to strengthen me now, Lord, and that I would preach fearlessly as I should, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So again, we're in Daniel chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn there. We're going to be looking at that. And we're going to be kind of, probably we'll read from verses 1 through verse 14 today. My hope is that today I can give you the groundwork of what Daniel's vision is here in this time. This is important. Again, as I mentioned to you, Daniel now God gives him another vision, and it's about things to come concerning the Medo-Persian Empire's fall and the rise of the Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great. Every one of us know in history who Alexander the Great was and how he pretty much conquered the whole known world very young, and he also died very young. And so it's pretty profound how Daniel writes about this empire that's to come way before it happened. And this is what's awesome about God. He reveals his secrets to his prophets. God reveals these things to his people. Why? So that we are never caught off guard. So we know. Why does God give us the book of Revelation? So that we know what's going to come. So we're not afraid. So that we will trust that what God has said will come to pass. Amen? Amen. So let's continue. He sees this vision, and the vision that he sees is twofold in the sense that God is giving him a glimpse also of the end times. It's not just what happened there, but there's something within this vision concerning the end as well. There's going to be a difference here. I want you to see real quickly in Daniel chapter 8, verse 17. This is what it says. This is Daniel chapter 8, verse 17. It says, So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, understand, O son of man, that the vision is for the time of the end. You see, God had given him a vision of some things that were to come, but he says it's also for the time of the end. Also in verse 19 of that same chapter, he says, this is what he says in Daniel 8:19. It says, he said, behold, I will make known to you what shall be at the latter end of the indignation, for it refers to the appointed time of the end. Again, Daniel is not only going to see some things that are going to happen in history that we can look back and say it's already happened, but there's also something going on in that history that is also referring to what's coming even beyond us. It's pretty awesome how God does this. So we're going to see how God revealed to Daniel the future events concerning the Medo-Persian Empire and its defeat by the Grecian Empire, which was at that moment was ruled by Alexander the Great. In this passage, we see another example of the little horn. How many of you remember the little horn? The little horn is the Antichrist, the beast of the New Testament. The little horn is here as well in this same chapter. We saw him in chapter 7, the little horn. All right, we saw the little horn, and he was also in Daniel chapter 2. And yet he was described in a different way. Remember, I gave you different ways the Bible described this coming Antichrist, this one who wants to come in place of Christ, who wants to be Antichrist. Amen? So these are some things that are happening. So he's going to be there, and we're going to see who is a type of the Antichrist / the beast. And this person, I'll get there not this week, we'll get there next week. But we're going to look at that, and we're going to see why he's a type of the Antichrist. But for today, let's begin to read verse 1. In Daniel chapter 8, it says, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after that which appeared to me at the first. And I saw in the vision, and when I saw, I was in Susa, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision, and I was at the Ulai canal. I raised my eyes and saw, and behold, a ram standing on the bank of the canal. It had two horns, and both horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. I saw the ram charging westward and northward and southward. No beast could stand before him, and there was no one who could rescue from his power. He did as he pleased, and he became great. As I was considering, behold, a male goat came from the west across the face of the whole earth without touching the ground, and the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. He came to the ram with the two horns, which I had seen standing on the bank of the canal, and he ran at him in his powerful wrath. I saw him come close to the ram, and he was enraged against him and struck the ram and broke his two horns. And the ram had no power to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled on him. And there was no one who could rescue the ram from his power. Then the goat became exceedingly great, but when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And instead of it, there came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. Out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. It grew great, even the host of heaven, and some of the hosts and some of the stars it drew down to the ground and trampled on them. It became great, even as great as the prince of the host, and the regular burnt offerings was taken away from him, and the place of his sanctuary was overthrown. And a host will be given over to it together with the regular burnt offerings because of the transgression, and it will throw truth to the ground, and it will act and prosper. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to the one who spoke, for how long is the vision concerning the regular burnt offering, the transgression that makes desolate, and the giving over of the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot. And he said to me, for 23,000 evenings and mornings, then the sanctuary shall be restored to its rightful state. Okay, that's a lot. But here we see Daniel, we're reading here Daniel's vision. And there are a lot of symbols here. So let's start. Daniel, remember, he says this is the third year. Remember in Daniel chapter 7, he was in the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon. He saw the visions that he got in Daniel 7. And now is the third year of the same king, Belshazzar of Babylon. He sees this vision. And he's under them, and he continues, and God continues to show him the empire still to come, the things that are coming, and giving him more details for us also who will read later. He starts with the first symbol he uses, I saw a ram, right? A ram. You know, I remember when I was younger in the faith, sometimes books like this intimidated me because it's like, how do you understand that? The ram, a goat, and, you know, and there's so many people that say all kinds of things, and you're just kind of like, well, you get confused. But when I was in school of ministry, I learned how to rightly divide the word of truth, how to use proper hermeneutics, how to study the scriptures, and how to go and look at the scripture, because God gives later on, all this information might seem confusing. You may not fully understand when we read verses 1 through 14, but verses 15 through 27, you're going to see right here that he gives the interpretation of what was there, what he was seeing. And I think sometimes that's why there's a lot of people that over-spiritualize things, make things that are not there. They say things because they don't keep reading the Bible. They just stop there and go, okay, this is what it says. No, keep reading. And God will interpret what he said. In verses 15 through 27, God interprets the dream that he gave Daniel. So that's important to note. When you're studying the Word of God, keep reading. Don't just stop and make a whole doctrine about one thing. Just keep reading the context. Look, if you have to, sometimes I learn, you read behind it, you read in front of it, and if you still don't get it, read the whole thing. Why? Because when you write a letter to someone, right? You can write a letter, you can put it down, and then someone can read your letter, and then they could take one statement you said in that letter and say, this is what you said, and sometimes they take it out of the whole context of what you tried to say. And that's exactly what people who are not trained in studying the Word of God, that's what they do. And that's why we have so many denominations. That's why we have so many sects in the church, because everybody does things like that sometimes. Not saying that everybody's like that, but this is why it's important to understand and learn how to study the Bible, so that by His Spirit, as you're reading His Word, God continues to reveal more and more, because you are looking to not tell us what the Bible means, but let the Bible tell you what it means. The Bible will tell you what it means. You don't have to make it up. It'll tell you what it wants you to know. Amen? All right, so God takes him, and here's the vision of this ram. So let's talk about this ram. All right? God takes him to Susa, the citadel, which is the winter residence of the Persian kings, located on the river Ulai or Chiospeces. I don't know how to say that word. I tried. God shows them the Medo-Persian army. Again, this is in verses 3 and 4. He says he saw them by this river. Now I want you to go with me to verse 20 of Daniel 8. Look at verse 20. That way you know Pastor Danny isn't making this up, who this ram is. He's not just guessing what empire this is. Let's look at this in verse 20. As for the ram that you saw with the two horns, these are the kings of the Media and the Persia. And Persia. In other words, the Medo-Persian Empire. God is telling us what you saw, Daniel, that ram that represents that empire. Okay? One commentator puts it like this. He says it wasn't a stretch to use a ram to represent the Medo-Persian Empire. Ammianus Marcellinus, these names, woo, a 4th century historian, states that the Persian ruler bore the head of a ram as he stood at the head of his army. Can you imagine the king? He would wear a head of a ram. Okay, that's what Wood writes. And then Strauss writes, the ram was the national emblem of Persia. A ram being stamped on Persian coins. You know how in America we have coins? We have quarters, we have dimes, nickels, pennies, right? And every one of those coins have an emblem in it, stamped. And it also says the United States of America. So you know that that coin is of the country. And many of our coins are monetary, have presidents that used to be in the country, past presidents. Okay? And just like this, it wasn't a stretch for Daniel to see a ram in his vision that represented Persian army, because that was part of their monetary stuff. They had it, the coins, as well as the headdresses of Persian emperors. Their headdresses had a ram on it. He describes a ram having two horns, of which one of them was larger. Interesting, right? This ram, how many of you ever seen a ram? And it has horns. Okay? In this vision, Daniel sees that this ram has two horns, but one is bigger than the other. And it's just kind of like, whoa. You it's weird, right? If we're out here, we go out to a farm and they have goats and rams and stuff, and we see one that, why is his, one is broke, one is smaller, one is bigger than the other. It should be even. Right? But in this case, it's not even. And there's a reason for this. This shows two kings of Media and Persia making up the empire. So the horns represent the two kings that made up the Persian army. How do we know this? We just read it verse 20, right? He said in verse 20, as for the ram that you saw with the two horns, these are kings of Media and Persia, okay? So those two horns represent that. God shows Daniel and one of those to the Persians being the largest, meaning the Persian side of that kingdom or that empire was a larger a scope of people and a larger kingdom, more strength, but they united together as one. And I want you to think about Daniel's time, in the time of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, when he saw the image of the man with a golden head, right? Gold being the purest of metals, right? That meant gold, in one aspect, when we look at governments, right? Gold, in that meant, since it was the purest, that means there was only one head. It was a theocracy, 100% theocracy. That means whatever Nebuchadnezzar said, that was what would happen. There was no one greater than King Nebuchadnezzar in this kingdom that he had. He was almost like God, right? He was theocracy. It was whatever he said goes. There was no law greater than the king. But not so with the Medo-Persian army, because you have two kings and they had split authority. And the Medo-Persian army had laws. And the law was greater than the kings. Matter of fact, if you remember the time when, Esther, the time of Esther. Do you remember Esther? She was a Jewish girl who was taken into the palace of this king of Persia, right? And there were things that, remember, what all happened, right? The king's wife, or the queen at the time, who was not Esther, the queen, she did something that was against the law. Even though the king loved his wife, he had to obey that law to remove her from ever coming into the court. So he got rid of her because she broke a law of the Persians. Think about that. a Babylonian king would have said, hold up, I didn't say what goes on here. No laws over me. I am the law. What I say goes. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream and he wanted to know what was going on. He said, if you don't tell me the dream, I'm going to kill you and all the wise people and all the sorcerers of my kingdom. They're all going to be dead and your families. Now, if there was laws against that, then that couldn't happen, okay? But because he was the law, one theocracy, he could say that. And this is why we see these two kings making up the Persian army, because it was not a theocracy. It was limited because now you have a different metal. You had the gold being the purest. Then I believe it was silver. Okay. And then bronze and then iron and then the feet of iron and clay in Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the different empires. Okay. Very interesting. That's why you see these two kingdoms, and that's why it's not as strong as it would have been. Because what is it that Satan wants to do? Now let's bring this for a second. I'll slow down. What does the enemy want to do? As we know, the Bible tells us what would happen. He wants to create one central government, one centralized government, one person that rules, one religion, okay, that he is worshipped as God. One currency, one frame of thought can have differences of opinions. What is it about our Constitution that's awesome in the United States? What is the First Amendment that we have? We have the freedom of speech, the freedom to assemble. That means you can speak what's on your mind in this country. Not like in other countries where if you say something against the government, off with your head. Or they do worse, but you know what's going on in this country? That freedom of speech is being taken away more and more each day. Because in order for the Antichrist to assume his power, everybody has to be doing the same thing. Groupthink. Everything has to be the same. You notice we want to be called global citizens. I'm not a global citizen. I am a citizen of the United States of America. That's it. I don't belong to any other nation. I was born in this country. This is my country. We are a sovereign country. Just like Cuba's a sovereign country. Just like China's a sovereign country. They are citizens of those countries. We are not global citizens. You see, the mindset is to make us look like that. But what do we do? God, they're going to look at Christians as we're the separatists. We want to separate everybody. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Just pay attention. It has to all become one. And that's the point. Religions beginning to intermingle. One of those is called ecumenicalism, where Christianity, Islam, and all these other religions become one. And then he's going to come into that temple, as the Bible says, and Daniel talks about the desolation, the abomination of desolation. He's going to go into the temple in Jerusalem, the Antichrist, and he's going to declare himself to be God. He's going to say, no more worship to that God. All worship to me. And he's going to make the image. We know this in the book of Revelation. He's going to make an image, and anyone who doesn't worship the image of the beast is to be killed. All right, so all of this is what is happening. We see these things because the original way, in order to have pure power and it to last, you have to have centralized everything. Everything has to be centralized. That's why the head of gold of Babylon is where the enemy wants it to go back to, Satan. Because there is only one king. Okay? Well, we know there's only one king. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the king we're waiting for. But the world is going to have their king that comes up, that little horn. And he's going to bring everyone together. And us, any Christians later that are left are going to be the separatists. We got to get rid of them. They want to keep us separate. They want to say we have to worship another. No, I'm God. We got to kill them. They're the bad people. Mm-hmm. Whew. Very, very interesting. So God shows this. Historically, we know God also shows Daniel about this this Medo-Persian empire, how vast its territory, its dominion. It had it was westward, northward, southward. No one was able to stand against them. And as a result, they became a great empire. It was a massive empire, great power. And it lasted for 200 years. The Medo-Persian Empire was a 200-year empire. That's why I tell you, be encouraged, because in the end, the Antichrist's empire is only going to be 7 years. What empire is that? It's going down. In 7 years, that's going down. Okay? These empires were 200 years, and then who knows? I got to look and see how long the Roman Empire was longer than that. Okay? So here, so he shows them that. Let's go on to the next part here, and we'll finish up with the goat. Okay? The goat, he's next. Then God shows him, go with me to verse 5. He says, as I was considering, behold, a male goat came from the west across the face of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a conspicuous horn, meaning a notable horn. Conspicuous means it was notable. You could tell that it was something strange. It stood out to you. All right. Oh, boy. I'm going to get to that in a minute. So God shows him another animal symbolizing another empire. Remember, God's perspective of men's desire to rule himself is that we are nothing but beasts. We're animals in God's perspective. In man's perspective, man, we're an awesome, strong, metal image. But from God's perspective, man, apart from me, is a beast. Man, this is pretty awesome. So he shows another animal, and he shows him a male goat that comes from the west. So this male goat comes from the west. We see him in verses 5 through 8. Look what he says here. He came to the ram. Oh, sorry. Let's keep reading there. Verse 5. As I was considering, behold, a male goat came from the west across the face of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. He came to the ram with the two horns, which I had seen standing on the bank of the canal. And he ran at him in his powerful wrath. I saw him come close to the ram, and he was in rage against him and struck the ram and broke his two horns. Ooh, we know the two horns mean those kings. He broke the two kings. He had to defeat those two kings of Media and Persia. He destroyed those two kings. So this was a big campaign, a big battle here to overcome him. He cast him down to the ground and trampled on him, and there was no one who could rescue the ram from his power. Then the goat became exceedingly great, but when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and instead of it, there came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of the heaven. Let's stop there for a minute. So now, he describes this male goat as running without touching the ground. This speaks of how quickly this empire came about. Like it just, you know, if you've ever seen like a movie and you see like The Flash and he's running fast, it's like he's not even touching, he's like floating in air running so fast, right? Same concept. That's how quickly this Grecian empire came about. It caught the Persians off guard in the sense of they weren't expecting this kind of thing from Alexander the Great coming because he was a young guy who, you know, and they're not expecting them coming like with this swiftness to them, how quickly they came into power. And he comes and attacks them. The goat represents, again, the Grecian Empire. Look at this in verse 21 of Daniel 8. Look at verse 21. And the goat is the king of Greece. And the great horn between his eyes is the first king. That's important. So the goat represents the king of Greece, all right, the Grecian Empire. He's there. One commentator says this about the Grecian people. He says, Newton very properly observes that 200 years before the time of Daniel, wow, 200 years before the time of Daniel, they came, they were called the goat's people. That's what the Greeks were called, the goat's people. So it's not a stretch that when Daniel sees a vision about them, their representation, their symbol is a goat. He saw that goat had a notable horn between its eyes. This horn represents the first king. We saw this in verse 21. We saw the first king. And who was the first king of Greece? Well, we know it's referring to Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, who conquered the nations. This, and he was a young man who did this. That, I mean, he was just ruthless. The goat defeats the Medo-Persian army. It sees a goat, they struck him. There's nobody that can help him. You know, like if you read the Bible, sometimes nations have allies and they come together against. And even in our time, right, we have right now, we have the rumors of wars and things like that. We have the NATO nations. We have allied nations for America and all that. So we have this happening even today where we have these friendships. But there was no one to help them from Alexander the Great's army. They could not be helped. He overpowered them. I guess God used them to bring about the demise of the Medo-Persian Empire. Historically, it was interesting that there were three great battles between the two empires, of which one was called the Battle of Granicus. The Battle of Granicus. This battle took place by the Granicus River. What did Daniel see in his dream? Where was the army? They were by a canal, a river. Is another word for a river. Daniel sees this battle. He sees a battle of Granicus. I want to read something real quick. We'll end with this. I want to read something from worldhistory.org encyclopedia, a world history encyclopedia, that I thought was interesting concerning this battle. You remember we read that this little horn was notable. That Daniel, what he saw, the little horn that was in between the eyes of the goat was notable. It was conspicuous, right? That means you could tell something flashy, something was out. This is what they write here. One unique problematic situation for the Persians was that was the positioning of their cavalry on the banks of Granicus. The Greek mercenary infantry, 5,000 strong, were placed behind them. Some historians believe this idea cost the Persians the battle. Imagine, you have a river behind you. Where are you going to go? You can't win like that. You're stuck. The Persian cavalry could neither move forward because of the river. The river was in front. They couldn't go nor pull back because of the location of the infantry. So they had infantry behind them. They had a river in front of them. They could not advance. They couldn't advance against the enemy. So this cost them the battle. In addition, the one weapon unique to the Persians, the Scythian chariot, was almost useless on the muddy riverbank. Was this a tactical error or pure arrogance? Together with the lack of true leadership besides Memnon, the battle was lost before it began. Watch this. This is what I thought was interesting about Alexander the Great. According to Arian and other sources, Alexander made himself extremely conspicuous. Here's that word that we read in the Bible, conspicuous. He made himself notable, both by the brightness of his arms and the respectful countenance of his staff. He was also quite noticeable by the large white plume on his helmet. This conspicuousness did not escape the Persians, whose major objective became to kill Alexander. Okay, what did Daniel see? A horn that was conspicuous, that was notable. Here's Alexander. He is wearing something that you could tell it's him. Notable. So all the Persians wanted to kill him. Their eyes were set on Alexander because out of the whole army, you could tell that was him by what he was wearing. That's awesome about God's word. We have a historical account of this battle, and we see Daniel over 200 years before this battle tells you what's happening and what he looked like and what he was dressed like. Conspicuous, meaning he was notable. It was, you can see what he, you can see it was something, you know, like if I wore a lime shirt out walking at night, you can see me. It's notable. It's conspicuous. Hey, that's why people say put on those life, you know, when they're working on the road, put on those bright things so that when people are driving, you light up and you are conspicuous. They can see you. You are notable. Okay? They can notice you. And Alexander, in his horse, he wanted to be seen by the Persians that he was who he was. And what that does for me, and I hope it does for you today, is encourage you how God's word is true. That God has spoken these things prior to it happening so that we would know as his people, so that there will be a historical record that he said it, and that you can be encouraged today who are reading it from then, from now. That's awesome. I know this was like a little history class, but I'm telling you, that's what we have to get there so that we can now look at, next week I want to look at the little horn. I want to look at this little horn more closely and talk about, because I want you to see there's a king who came after this Alexander the Great empire. And by the way, Alexander the Great, remember, he died at a young age, and his kingdom was still intact, but it was split up between his four generals. That's why you saw four kings. Four more generals became, they rule. So we see we went from one king to two kings, and now we're four. And then Rome was the Senate, right? There was a Caesar and there was a Senate, and all the Senate represented the people. Do you all, you see how the, how when you look at the image that I was saying in Nebuchadnezzar, how each metal was a weaker government in the sense of, if you want total adherence, the government you want to have is a theocracy where there's only one that rules. That's why we're seeing that today. You turn on the TV, you watch the media, everything you watch on TV is pointing to the same thing, usually. And they want to, now, matter of fact, I read yesterday, this morning, that the Supreme Court just let the Biden administration, gave them a chance to regulate the internet. That's dangerous. Why? Because if you say something against what the government believes, they take you off. Because they don't want any other voices heard. When COVID came around, all those doctors that were telling you on the ground what they were experiencing, saying, hey, we can treat this, we can help people. No, they're crazy, and they're, shut them down, take away their license. Because it was a push to give you the medicine. Because money was involved. Politics was involved. And as a result, many died. Okay? As a result, many people died. And people today are not dying right, or they're dying, and it's, they just suddenly died. People that had no problems with heart conditions, all of a sudden have a heart condition. People who never had any problem with their blood pressure have high blood pressure. People who had never, who had no cancer, all of a sudden cancer shot through the roof. And all the things that we're seeing happen today, we understand, because one day they're going to even censor what I just said. So why do I have to say the medicine? Because if I say the other word, guess what happens? They ban you. Can't do that. And that's what we have to do in order to keep getting the word out. We have to choose what we're going to say, and people will get, they understand what I'm talking about. So understand, we have an enemy. And he's working through the sons of disobedience, through people who do not know God. Okay? So let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, Lord, as we were just looking at history of what you showed about these empires. And Lord, what that reminds us is that what you said will come to pass. And Lord, what you talked about, the end, is beginning to be fulfilled in our time. We are seeing things leading up to the end. And Lord, we rejoice because your word is true. And let every man be a liar. Lord, we rely upon your word to lead us and guide us. And we're encouraged today because our salvation is drawing nearer than when we first believed, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful that there's coming a day that the church of Jesus Christ right now, the church is going to be caught up to be with you. And we won't be here for the great tribulation. We will be with you. And Lord, I'm thankful that there are going to be people who are left behind, but they're going to hear the gospel because they're going to see these videos. You're going to send 144,000 Jewish evangelists to go preach the gospel all to your people and all over the world. God, we know that in your wrath, you're going to remember mercy. And so, Lord, I pray for someone today who's watching that, Lord, if they don't know you, today would be the day of salvation. Today, the Bible is clear. God has destined that man would die once, and after this, we face a judgment. He has set a day in which he's going to judge the world. And the Bible calls you to repent of your sins, turn away from them, and begin to turn to God. And the Bible says, if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I don't care where you are. If you're riding in your car, pull over and pray and ask God. There is no magical saying. Just talk to him from your heart and God will save you right where you are. You're at the gym, put the weights down and begin to bow your head before God and cry out to him. And God will save you. You're in your office, close the door and cry out to God and God will save you right there. Hallelujah. And he'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible with you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Yeah.